You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci with you from Mobile, Alabama, site of the 2014 Senior Bowl. Jim Donovan is in our studio in Berea, Ohio.
Hey, Vic, could you could you give us weather statistics, please, down there in Mobile, Alabama?
It's sunny.
And kind of, let me just give you an old radio term here. Could you paint the picture for us?
I'll paint the picture.
All right.
So I'm here at the Renaissance Hotel, which is the headquarters of where the players are housed for the North and South squads of the Senior Bowl. The coaching staff's also here from the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of activity. There is a radio row here, not quite anything approaching the size of, say, the Super Bowl or even the scouting combine in Indianapolis, but it's pretty good. Sirius XM is to my right, and we got a bunch of other stations to my left, so I'm right in the prime spot. We've had this for 3 years running. By the way, I got to do a plug. We got to do another thing in the radio business called a live read. We want to say, know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns. Get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere, just like this, because you can get this show streaming live. And let me tell you about connection. Right now, even though he is not in his usual seat co-hosting with this show,
with a full plate of food in front of him.
Always with a full plate of food. He might have food in front of him now, but from another location, and he is the other half of the regular team of CBD. He is our good buddy Nathan Zagura on the line. Hello, Nathan.
What's up, gentlemen? No food, unfortunately, in front of me. It's a little, you know, I feel a little bit lost that way. But
Nathan, let me just say this, and I don't think I'm giving away secrets here. But when Doug Deacon and I come up and he views your meal that you're putting down when we see you every week, he'll always come out of the studio and say, where does that guy put that? I mean, I don't see any drastic weight gain, and that guy can really put it away. And this really takes up a lot of Deke's time, wondering your metabolism and how fast it burns.
Well, you know, when I was in high
Which says a lot about Deke.
It does say a lot about him. I'm flattered to know that he's noticed what I'm saying.
And he cares about such things.
Despite my eating. But, yeah, when I was in high school, the doctor said I had the metabolism of a hummingbird, and I used to take those, like, 2,000-calorie weight gainer shakes, and I would still lose weight. So, fortunately, I guess I have some decent genes on that side. But I try to eat pretty clean, though. Notorious will tell you, not a lot of bad stuff on my plate. It's pretty healthy. It's a big plate, but a healthy plate.
So, Nathan, again, glad to have you here. And I know for you personally, because you grew up in San Francisco, you're a Niner fan to the core. You and I were both calling that a Niner victory, and it really looked like for a long time like we were going to be dead on with our prediction. It didn't work out that way, and surprisingly so, the mistakes really did them in, because in many ways they outplayed the Seahawks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they I felt that when I watched that game, I think if you play that game 100 times, the Niners still win the majority of those games. But it came down to the fourth quarter, and Colin Kaepernick turned the football over 3 times at the end of the game, and you can't do that. And for me, when I was talking about that game, the key to me was for them to be able to establish the run with Frank Gore. They did not do that. 11 carries for 14 yards for Gore. Now, Kaepernick running was unbelievable, 130 yards rushing. He now has 2 games of 100 yards rushing in the playoffs. All other quarterbacks in the history of the NFL playoffs have combined for 2 100-yard rushing games. But really, it came down there, and I thought he did a great job on that last drive, brought him down inside the 20, took the shot at Richard Sherman. We all know that that did not go very well for the 49ers. Provide some great media moments, however, coming out of that play.
And, didn't go well for Aaron Andrews either.
No, apparently it did not. But, you know, for Colin Kaepernick now in this 49ers team, look at it. They got a lot of free agents coming up. You know, Colin Kaepernick was inside the 10-yard line with 4 plays to try to win the Super Bowl last year, inside the 20 this time to win the NFC Championship, came up on the short end, and it was Navarro Bowman goes out, and that was just a tough play. And, you know, you got to tip your cap to the Seahawks, because when they needed to come through and make the big plays, they did, even though they themselves were a little sloppy with that exchange on the fourth and goal. It was as a 49er fan, it was a tough game. At least it was a good game, and it was tense to the last moment. The Denver-New England game, I thought, was one of those, you know, you go see a big hyped prize fight, and it's over in the first 5 minutes.
Exactly. You know what? Let me ask you this. The other thing about the Seattle game with San Francisco that was so great, guys, is this. Those two organizations, two teams, two coaches, they despise each other.
Yeah.
I mean, and you could really feel that the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, somebody made a very good point that they draft to play against each other.
Sure.
I mean, they, you know, hey, they realize, you know, that the whole season for them, I think, really comes down to where do you play that playoff game? I mean, do you play it in San Francisco or do you get to play it up there in Seattle? And the Seahawks hung on to that and they got that right to play that game at home, and it was worth a ton to them. But, I mean, the feeling between those two teams was just unbelievable, and you can only hope for that. You know, that the Browns get that kind of rivalry reestablished with Steelers, Bengals, Ravens. You pick it or take all of them. But, I mean, that's what made that game so electrifying.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I think it's a situation where you have coaches who don't like each other, who have their distinct styles that kind of carries over to the team. They are always geared to play each other. Home field was important. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks haven't beaten the Niners in San Francisco. The Niners haven't beaten the Seahawks in Seattle.
Right.
And that still is true to this day. So, yeah, and you could feel it. You could get a sense of how much the coaches wanted, how much the players wanted. The one thing that I hated about that game, and this is not, I don't want this to even, I'll just say it, not be misconstrued to be saying this cost the 49ers. Seattle won that game. The refereeing in that game was absolutely atrocious.
And that's an all-star crew, right?
Yeah, they missed the roughing kicker. And the fact on the play when Navarro Bowman, I mean, you want to talk about a guy, an MVP candidate on the defensive side of the ball, strips the man at the goal line while his ACL and MCL are being torn and has the wherewithal to even hold on to the ball. A lot of players drop the ball, holds on to it, and then they give the ball to Seattle and say it's not reviewable.
All
the stuff that is reviewable, that's insane.
Yeah. Vic, you know, I do want to make this point, and Nathan too, that I thought in our business, I thought that the Fox telecast was far superior to the CBS telecast yesterday. The games were better, but I thought the Fox telecast was just tremendous. And I'll tell you what really helps Fox out, and it's exactly what Nathan was touching upon there. The helpless feeling that even Mike Pereira had up in that booth yesterday by saying, that was a bad call, but it's not reviewable. You know, but I really think that enhanced that broadcast to have that guy, and nobody is better than him up there doing it because he did it for so many years at the NFL. But I really thought that that made that game even better on TV because he was so honest and he was so helpless.
Yeah,
and the 49ers were helpless, too.
I think we all were, and I felt so badly for an outstanding player like Bowman to go through that. What a horrific, horrible thing to happen, and it was the classic insult to injury type of play. Nathan, with regard to the coaching search, as we talk about that subject and how yesterday's games do play into that, I think there's an interesting we get 2 more weeks to talk about it, but I was going to say this, the interesting scenario now that comes up is one of timing. So you sit back for maybe 2 more weeks and wait for one of those guys that you think is the right guy, if it's Adam Gase, if it's Dan Quinn, and if, in fact, the Browns can get in front of Gase even the first time to make that happen. And, you know, Jim and I were talking about this earlier. I think there's something to be said for Gase's decision-making to be tied to whatever Peyton Manning decides to do. If Peyton Manning, in fact, gets to win a Super Bowl on February 2nd and ride off into the sunset, that might be a good time for Gase to ride from Denver to Cleveland.
No, there's no question about it. And I think that the point that Jim brought up about the coaches and the rivalry in Seattle and San Francisco, you need that leader who is going to define your team and bring that attitude and that energy. And I think that's something that the Browns really do need. And I think that that's something that needs to be looked at very closely in this coaching search, is not only what can this guy do for us on the field, but what can he do off the field in terms of setting the tone and the direction and really giving this franchise an identity. I mean, when you watch those games, that Seahawks team mirrors Pete Carroll in very many ways. The Niners, same thing with Jim Harbaugh on the other side. And I think that that'll be important. But, yes, I think we've kind of hit the delay button now for 2 more weeks. And if everything we've read or that we believe that we know with the limited information we have about this search, they're going to make sure they get an opportunity to get in front of Gase. They want to talk to Quinn again. So it says to me, we're not going to have a coach until this Super Bowl is over. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll get one soon thereafter.
Yeah, and one more point, though. I love this talk about the tone setting, but it shouldn't stop with the coach. The coach is an important part of this, that leadership that both Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh brought in particular, and how it's influenced those two teams and their rivalry and their division. But I think it's bigger than that. Organizationally, you have to, I believe, as Jim said, draft to that and draft the types of players and be conscious of that. Don't be so consumed with the analytics approach to things I know is very popular and very big in the NFL, but unfortunately numbers, and I've talked to any number of scouts about this in the last 48 hours, some that I rode with on the plane here and some that are here, and you've got a cross-section of young and old scouts who are part of this process, and even some of the younger guys say, look, personality traits and,
matters.
And the type of yeah, that matters. Don't get so caught up in numbers that you forget that the guys, that they're human beings and that you want to draft those temperaments to it. So you think of a Richard Sherman, not only a tremendously talented athlete, but that fire, that energy, that spark, that juice that he brings to the field, that's contagious.
Definitely.
For
is.
Sure.
Yeah,
and he said last night, you know, once he calmed down a little bit after the game, that said, you know, in Atlanta, we had the lead, and we let the offense down. We were never going to let that happen again. That chip on the shoulder, the way he played. And I'll tell you what, some people may have hated what Richard Sherman did after the game. I like it. I'm sick of everybody sounding like a robot. Everybody, oh, well, they're a great team, and we're a great team, and we did it. You know what? That was a rare moment, and he even said after the fact, because if you read his article that he wrote himself on Monday Morning Quarterback, I'd recommend everybody do that.
Yeah.
This is a very intelligent, very thoughtful guy. And
I mean, he went to Stanford, didn't he?
Stanford guy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a personal thing with Crabtree, and that's also becoming very clear, dating back to an incident in a charity event. But I don't mind it. And you know what? There should be. This is a game with so much emotion where in 1 second anything can happen to take that away from you. I don't mind seeing somebody get a little bit fired up and talking a little trash. Maybe that's the wrestling fan of me. But I enjoyed that. And he broke my heart yesterday in some ways. My dad's crying on the other end of the phone. My dad, he's like, I hate Richard Sherman. I'm like, yeah, but that was pretty funny, Dad. You got to admit that.
Well, I mean, she got him a minute after that game ended.
Yeah,
a minute and a half after he had made the play of his life.
It was raw stuff.
Yeah, it was.
It just made it that much more compelling. Nathan, thank you, my friend, and we will look forward to being reunited tomorrow on the show.
Reunited will feel so good. Jim, wish I could have been in Berea with you, but thanks for stepping in for
Absolutely.
Me today, and enjoy the rest of the show, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
And enjoy a huge lunch. He's going to be eating something somewhere. All right. Jim Donovan sitting in for Nathan Zagura. Vic Carucci here. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up. Scott Petrak, who covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, is going to join us next up here on CBD on ESPN 850. WKNR.